All right, so tonight we are going to look at a story. When I first was looking at this, I thought it was going to be a different passage because I was like, 2 Kings, I thought it was 22. There's an amazing story about where these guys who are like y'all's age are making fun of this old prophet, and they're calling him like Baldy, basically. And then they call him Baldy, and then he's like, oh, yeah? And he calls out of the wilderness bears that come and tear these kids apart because they were making fun of him. And it's like, oh, that'll make you not, like, make fun of older people anymore, right? So that's in 2 Kings 2. If you're ever interested, want to look that up, I'm pretty sure it's 2 Kings 2, not chapter 22. But this is a really neat story as well. I want to show you something to give you a little bit of context of what's going on in this story, because otherwise, really, to tell this story, I'd need to read like 7 chapters of scripture tonight, and you guys would get caught up in all the different names and things like that. I don't want you to get lost in the weeds, but I do want you to have a decent understanding. So, if I can get my clicker to work, which is not for some reason, there it is. Awesome. Okay, so you guys are probably familiar with King Saul, King David, and King Solomon, right? We've been talking about those guys every once in a while at Cornerstone. After Solomon, the kingdom of Israel breaks in half, essentially, okay? There's 10 tribes that continue to be called Israel, and they are on the left. Those are their different kings. And then there's 2 tribes which go by the name of Judah, and they are on the right side. So each one has about 20 kings, and the northern tribes, if you see the names are in black, are bad kings, and the names are in blue are good kings, okay? So you can tell, obviously, the northern tribes have a big issue. They go for like 0 for 20. And Judah goes about 8 for 21 or something like that. So not great odds, because here's what happens is the people of Israel follow how the king leads. So imagine if we're all playing follow the leader. You guys played that as kids, right? Where the person you're following pats their head, and so everybody starts patting their head, and they rub their belly, and everybody rubs their belly, and then they pat their head and rub their belly, and you're like, I can't do this, okay? But you're supposed to do whatever they do. Well, guess what? The tribes do this very thing. The kingdoms do this. So if the king is a good king and he follows the Lord, guess what? The people all follow him in doing that. But especially since we see there's so many bad kings, the kingdom of Israel just really falls apart and starts worshiping all these false gods. They have just completely forgotten the word of the Lord. And they're worshiping gods where some of the gods are ones where you would sacrifice babies into these like fires. And that is how you would worship a god. Or you would go to the temple and you would have relationships with prostitutes, and that's how you would worship these gods. And obviously that's not how God has told us to worship him, but that's what they were doing because they had gotten away from the word of God. So what we see here is going to be an interesting story about the last guy in blue that is a king of Judah. His name is Josiah, okay? Josiah becomes king at 8 years old. Anybody got an 8-year-old brother or sister? Anybody? Okay, imagine them being like a king of Israel, or of the country you're in. Like, crazy, right? Can you imagine like your younger sibling? Or can you imagine if you were a king or a ruler over a country when you were 8 years old? Like, that's a lot to take on. Well, Josiah's parents, as you can see, nobody in a few generations before him were good kings. Manasseh, that guy, he was really bad, okay? Like, terrible guy. Hezekiah, that was before him, was great, but Manasseh came behind and, like, messed up everything Hezekiah had done. So, do what? what did who do? Manasseh? He instituted a lot of these idols and stuff and set them up all over the country so people could go and worship. And they had these like different altars and poles that they would go and do dances around and worship these false gods at these places that were up on hilltops. And so Josiah becomes king. He's 8 years old. And as you can imagine, if you're 8 years old, you really, I mean, we could all say, yeah, I know how to run a country, but really we don't, right? Like, we would be overwhelmed at 8 years old to try and run a country. So he probably has a lot of guys around him who know how to run a country, and they just continue the same things that have been going on beforehand under Amon and under Manasseh. And so they keep on doing this stuff. And then we get to chapter 22 here. And basically what happens, I'm going to summarize some and then we're going to read some of the spots, is Josiah orders for the temple to be restored. God's temple that Solomon had built to be restored back how it had been formerly. So he sends his secretary, a guy named Shaphan, I believe. And Shaphan goes to the temple with some money to pay for the builders to take care of getting things started. And when he's there, the high priest, whose name is Hilkiah, comes out and he says, hey, I just found the book of the law. Now, when we think of a book, it's not the same as what they would have had. Okay, they would have something like this, a scroll, right? We were talking about earlier how if you had First and Second Kings all together, it'd be this massive scroll. All right, so they break it in half so it's a little more easily used. These scrolls are, though, how they didn't have a Bible like this. This is what they would read to know God's word. So apparently what had happened was throughout all of these bad kings that were just before, right? We had all these different kings that were bad kings in among the good ones, that the ways of following God had been lost, right? I mean, from the time Hezekiah dies in 687 until the time that Josiah comes along is like 47 years or something like that. So 47 years is a long time to forget how something had been done beforehand. If I tried to teach you guys how to dial up internet, you would be very confused until I taught you how that worked and what was going on. And that was like less than 20 years ago. So imagine 47 years ago is like the 1970, 1971, right? So, most of your parents were like being born around that time. So imagine when your grandparents were like your parents' age. That's a decent amount of time when we think about things being a certain way. And so these guys around Josiah have been keeping things going. Josiah wants the temple to be rebuilt. The high priest says, I found the book of the law. And so let's see what happens here when they bring it back to Josiah. We'll pick up in verse 10 of 2 Kings 22. It says, then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the secretary and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, okay, so he pulls all these guys around and he tells them this, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. So here's what he says. Josiah is not 8 years old anymore. Okay, this is 18 years into his reign. So he's about my age at this point. And he has gotten some experience, but he's not at the point where he's just got this on his own. He's got these people around him. And he tells them after first, he hears the word. So a lot of scholars think that it was the book of Deuteronomy that he was being told. And what he realized was, if you look in and you read through Deuteronomy, there's a lot of things that Israel's supposed to do that is what sets them apart as a special country. And they were not doing those things anymore. And Josiah realizes, this isn't who we are. This isn't how we live. And so he tears his clothes. And tearing your clothes in that day was a way of expressing, like, anger, sadness, frustration, suffering, different things like that. It was this outward expression that showed everyone else where you stood on something. So another Old Testament book is Job. And when Job finds out that all of his kids have been killed in basically a tornado, he tears his clothes. And it's this outward expression of his grief. And Josiah does this same thing here, and he tells these people who are very high-ranking officials, and he sends them to ask of the Lord and to go and kind of beg before God, because he knows that all of this sin that they've been doing, worshiping these other fake gods and not doing the things God had commanded them, that God has what he calls wrath that is kindled. Now, how many of you have tried to start a campfire before? Okay. So when you try and start a campfire, you've got like tinder, kindling, and fuel, right? Those are like your three things. So this kindling is like an idea of like a smaller part of a fire where you've got not just the tiny little bits, but a little bit more that's been added on. So those are like your little sticks that you're putting onto a fire. So Josiah thinks that this is the kind of anger that God has about this sin that they have had in their lives. And it teaches him something amazing when he realizes what he has read. And here's kind of one of our principles for tonight is going to be out of this idea that when we are studying God's word, when we study well, we learn what we didn't know before. Okay, so before Josiah had this book read to him, he didn't know about the commands of God. He didn't know what it meant for the temple to be used properly. He probably didn't know because his father and his grandfather hadn't been good kings who followed the Lord. He probably didn't know how to lead a country to follow the Lord and to obey his commands. But once he had read that, then he became responsible to lead. And he realized our country has not been following God, and God has got some anger kindling up against us, and we need to go and beg before God for him to turn that anger away from us. Now, we see this same principle similar in school, where you've got a subject that you take, and part of what you're supposed to do in that class is that hopefully throughout the year you learn something new, hopefully lots of something news, right? That you're learning, maybe you're in a band class, and so you're learning different styles of music. You're learning how to play certain songs. You're learning different composers or theories about music. Or maybe you're in science or math, and you're learning that you can add things together that you didn't know you could add together or multiply or how things work. If I told a kindergartner, did you know that you can add letters? They would go, you're crazy. You add numbers. But if I tell somebody who's in algebra or pre-algebra, you probably know that, yes, you can actually add and subtract and multiply and divide letters because letters are variables, okay? So you learn these things, and the hope is that as you learn something, it's something you didn't know before, and it brings you to a point where now you are equipped to do something you never had the ability to do before. Okay, so now if we're trying to build something out of plywood or something, let's say I've had to do this before, I've had to build like a stage like this. And so I've had to figure out, all right, if I want a curtain that can cut right across from that back corner to this front corner, how do I find out how long it needs to be? Okay, well, if I know a sheet of plywood is 4 feet wide, I've got 4 sheets of plywood wide, 4 times 4 is 16, right? Okay, so that side's 16. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 sheets of plywood this way, and they're 8 feet long this way. So 4 times 8 is, come on guys, flashcards. 32, okay, so 32. So what I can do, because of the Pythagorean theorem, which you may know about already, you may not know about, and you may know about and be like, that thing's stupid, is that I can multiply the square of that side and the square of this side, add them together, and I can find out what the square of the center is going to be, the diagonal, because it's a triangle. Okay, I can figure that out and find out exactly how long it's supposed to be. Now, that's a long way to do it when in reality I could just take a tape measure from one corner to the other, right? But I could theoretically figure that out right now without a tape measure and tell you what that length is, because I learned something that I didn't know when I was in second grade, right? I learned somewhere along the way, and now it allows me to do something different. Josiah does the same thing here. He didn't know when he was 8 how to run the country well, but he had learned something by hearing the book of the law of God, and he now had good instruction about what Israel was supposed to do. So we see a few things here that are amazing. He says, go inquire of the Lord for me and for all the people, for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, right? So studying God's word shows us, one, God's holiness, love, and justice, okay? Those things are not separated from each other. They go hand in hand together. So God's not loving at the expense of his holiness or at the expense of his justice. He's not just without being holy and without being loving. He's not holy without being just and without being loving. Those things are together. And so we see that Christ dying in our place allows God to be just because he carries out the punishment that's deserved for sin. He's loving in that he provides the sacrifice. And he's holy because he does not allow sin in. He doesn't just say, oh, it's okay that you sinned. You can come in. No, he's holy. He's set apart. He cannot be around sin. So God works these things together. And we see this as we study God's word. But it also shows us our problem of sin, right? That we have issues. Josiah realized this as he's reading God's word. Is that, yes, God's loving, just, and holy, but we are sinful people. And there's a punishment that's coming our way. So he sends them out to find out about it. And then he's trying to find out what are the possible responses. And as we study God's word, we have possible responses as well. Hopefully, when you're in a class and you're learning about music theory, about chemistry, about Pythagorean theorem or stuff, hopefully they give you some applications of what you might be able to do with this. For instance, Pastor Izzy and I found out when we were trying to learn about starting fires once that there's a way that you can combine certain chemicals together and get a fire out of things that are easy to find and are not dangerous on their own. And so we were like, that's amazing because now I can start a fire in the middle of the rain if I need to. That's a cool thing to know how to do. Okay, I'm not telling you guys because you're pyros, okay? So, but hopefully you learn applications. And so Josiah wanted application. What could he do with this new information that he had? So what they do, if we skip down a little bit, they go and they meet with a prophetess, okay? Now, a prophetess was a lady who spoke for the Lord, that the Lord would tell her what to say, and then she would say it. So we think of a prophet or a prophetess typically as someone who's telling the future, that they're, you know, telling us something that's going to happen down the road. And sometimes that happens, but a lot of times what it is someone who is used by God to give a corrective, okay, in order to help someone stop doing what's wrong and move in the right direction instead. So she then says a little bit further down, if we look in verse 16, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and they have made offerings to other gods, and they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands, before my wrath will be kindled against this place and it will not be quenched." So there's an interesting thing here that God kind of uses the imagery. He talks about the kindled, right, where we said a small burning fire. He says, yeah, I've got wrath that's kindled, but this is not tiny fire. This is fire that you can't quench. That's a big fire, right? You ever seen a fire that's like we can just pour water on it and it doesn't seem to go out? It's still hot underneath it all. That's a dangerous fire, right? That's not something you want to be around because that's very, very dangerous. Well, guess what? This is the kind of wrath and anger that God has because of the sin of Israel. So just imagine if you send out people to find out what's going to happen and they come back with this story to you. That's terrifying, right? That's a scary thing on its own. But we see something else here. We see this, verse 19. "Because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants," he says, "I will gather you to your fathers and you will be gathered to your grave in peace." Basically, he's saying, you'll die, but things will be, you won't see the full destruction here, right? He says, "And your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place." So that is the second half. He says, there is a wrath and anger that is against this sinfulness and this rebellion that Israel has. But because the king was repentant, because his heart, remember when he ripped his clothes at, you know, the grief and the sadness and the anger he had about that sin that he realized, because his heart shone that way, God said, I won't bring this about during your life, but it's still going to come about. So what we see through that is an important idea as well. When we study well, we learn to live differently than before. Josiah's way of leading the country was different after he came in contact with God's word. Beforehand, he was just going about, and I was reading today in Romans, and Paul talks about how, look, before we had the law, we didn't know what sin was. We are still sinning. People were sinning even though they didn't have the law, but the law shows us this is where you're wrong. This is the sin, and it makes it evident for us. So if the only law you've ever heard of is do not murder, you go, oh, well, I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at not murdering people. Never done that yet, you know. 100% doing well, okay? But then Jesus says, yeah, but the point of that law is even further. It goes to the heart. He says, if you even hold in your heart a hatred for your brother, it's just like you've murdered. And then James later on says, if you've broken one commandment, you're guilty of them all. So it's like, great. I've probably harbored anger and hatred for someone at some point in my life, right? A lot of us could think, yeah, I've been super angry at some people before. And James says, yeah, well, if you've done that and you're guilty of murder, you're guilty of it all. Wow. So the law brings us to this point of realizing that we're sinful, that we're broken, but it also points us to live in a different way than we did before. I'm going to summarize for you a little bit, but I want you to see, this was a neat little picture I found online. I love that. He looks like, oh boy, kind of a weird picture, but it kind of gives some of the idea of what he does. Josiah leads in a totally different way after this. Even though God, he's not seeking out God's favor, saying, maybe I can make God not bring this destruction, even though he said he was still going to. No, he says, because my heart is different, I want to lead in a different way. I want to live in a different way because I now know what the right way to do things looks like. And so what does he do? All those places, they're all over the kingdom where they would have those poles and they would go and dance and worship and they would go and be with prostitutes and that they would go and sacrifice children and all of these different things. He goes and he tears it all down and he burns it. And it's interesting. Some of these things were made out of like wood or they were made out of stone. And these things are either burned or crushed, it says, into powder. Can you imagine that? If there was like a big like totem pole looking statue thing up here, and there were several of these all over the country or all over the state. And the king was like, look, we're going to tear these things down. Well, what I would think is like you go up and you're like, all right, it's torn down now. Yay, we did it. Josiah's like, that's not enough. So he has these things burned. And you're like, all right, that's pretty good. Well, if it's stone, he's like, no, I want it crushed into powder. And you're like, all right, that's taking it kind of far, Josiah. That's a little bit overkill, don't you think? And then he does something even crazier. Check this out. He takes the dust and the ashes of this stuff and he spreads it across graves across the country. So like goes to cemeteries and spreads it out over these tombs and stuff. Because then what happened was the people understood that death and the tombs and things were unclean, right? They understood that. They had a good idea. Nobody liked to go and hang out in cemeteries and be around dead people, especially with all the disease and stuff, and they didn't have hand sanitizer and things like that, and there were all these bugs that would be in there, and I mean, it was gross. So they would not want to go around that. So he takes these things, and he spreads out their ashes and dust all over it, and the powder all over these graves to signify that stuff that we were worshiping beforehand is unclean. It's gross, like all those dead bodies are. And we're done with it. No more. Because he had that whole lineage of kings, some good and some bad, but they didn't go and they didn't do it to that extent. And Josiah was like, we're done with this. No more. He led in a totally different way after he came in contact with God's word. And the same needs to be true in our lives. Each of you have access to one of these Bibles, okay? Maybe not this exact one, but if you don't have a Bible, guess what? We've got an ESV study Bible that I would love to give you, okay? I want to get that to you. But this doesn't need to sit like the scroll in the back corner of the temple where the high priest is like, oh, hey, look, it's the book of the law. Check it out. No way, okay? This is meant to be used. It's meant for us to learn what it says. We're supposed to actually read it. And then guess what? When we read it, we're responsible for doing what it tells us to do. That means we have to live in a different way. When we read something that God says, be kind to your enemies, love those who persecute you, have no other gods before me, don't let something else be an idol in your life that has more value than God. When we read those kinds of things in God's word, guess what? It's like the law. Now we're responsible for it. Now we know what's right and wrong is. Now it's just, will we choose to do what's right and not what's wrong? We're responsible at that point. And you guys, listen here. You're not little babies anymore. You're not 8-year-olds anymore, right? You're not like Josiah when he became king. Okay? Y'all are more grown up. You've matured. You have access to God's word. Okay? You have to be, you know, the Bible says, act like men. And it says that, ladies, yet again, not to be offensive. What he's saying is, don't act like a baby. Act like a full-grown adult. I want you guys to be full-grown adults. At Cornerstone, we're not about raising kids. We're about raising adults. We want you to grow to be fully functioning, growing, on fire for Jesus, loving the Lord, mature adults who are able to disciple someone else. And that means that you have to be discipled. You have to grow in your walk with God. You have to learn what his word says and then live differently because you've learned it. Now listen, the things in your life may not be as drastic as it was in Josiah's. If you go on, and you can read this later on if you want to this week, you read chapter 23, basically Josiah runs all over the country with all these people, and he tears down everything, he pounds it into powder, he spreads it on graves, all kinds of crazy stuff like that. It's a very drastic change in his life. Maybe it's not going to be quite as drastic as you running around tearing down statues, grinding them into powder and spreading it in cemeteries. But maybe it's going to be small things each day that you realize there's a better way I can love God here. There's a better way I can love people here. There's something I learned as I read God's word that I can apply in a new way in my life. That I don't need something else to tell me that I have value because I know I'm made in the image of God. I know that Jesus died to save me. I have value because of that. When we have that kind of understanding of God's word, that changes the way that we live. So some of the question then is, how do you study God's word, right? First thing is you need to have it. You got to have it. Okay, like I said, if you do not have a Bible, and I know some of you have told me, I don't have one yet, guess what? We've got some in the back. We'll go get one for you in just a little bit. If you'll come and talk to me, I'd love to get you a brand new Bible and show you some of the amazing things it has inside of it. If you have grown up in Cornerstone, you should have gotten one. It is a fantastic resource. I want to show you a few other things here as well. And some of it you'll be pretty familiar with. Okay, 7 arrows. You guys have heard about this before. This is something we want you to be trained in. So this is not that, man, I just ran out of stuff to tell you about and I want to tell you about the same thing. No, we are dedicated to teaching you how to use this as a study method. If you haven't got one of our bookmarks yet, I've got like maybe 10 of them over here that you can get tonight. They fell out. Oh no, very sad. All right, I'll find them. They fell out of my backpack. I had a bunch of them I was going to give you guys. But it's got 7 questions, and it uses an arrow as kind of a reminder of what it means. And those questions you can keep inside your Bible to help you remember when I read a passage of Scripture, I need to ask myself, what does this passage say? What did it mean to its original audience? What does it tell me about God? What does it tell me about man? How does it prompt me to pray? How does it help me interact with other people? There's one other that I can't remember off the top of my head, okay? Do what? What does the passage command me? There you go, okay? So if you have it in your Bible with you, it's a great help. So use that tool, okay? This is a very helpful thing. If it doesn't make sense to you when you look at it, come and ask me or one of our leaders, and we'd like to help you learn how to use it a little better. We also have some devotionals, right? These are ones that you can find if you go to the corner store on Sunday. So I just put those up. But you can find other devotionals as well. These are good ones. Pastor Bill wrote the 30 Days to James book, and we have that. This is one, it's called New. And if you're young in your faith, you're just trying to figure out what this whole Christianity thing is, what it means to be a disciple, this is a great book for you to work through, because it's going to teach some very simple concepts, but things that we've got to know. We've got to be confident in knowing core fundamental beliefs of our faith. And then the next thing I wanted to show you, this is some screenshots out of the Verses app. So Pastor Izzy talked about this a little while back. I forget if you guys were in there or not, but the Verses app is great. It is an app that basically helps you memorize scripture. And so if you've been in Awana before, you've been involved in that, this is a way that you can have it on your phone, your iPod, whatever you use, and you can even like connect it with other people. So if it's something that you and your group of friends want to challenge each other, make it a competition. I know none of you are competitive at all. Yeah, exactly. Okay. None of you are competitive, I'm sure, but if you were competitive, you can connect it with other people that you know, and it's a good way of reminding each other. And this is a great thing that you can do when you're sitting around waiting on something to start, or you know, your game's loading, or whatever's going on. It's a really good resource. Yes. It looks just like that on that side, except for the ESV part. Verses. The logo looks pretty similar to that looking thing. And it kind of has little games that you play. So you like fill in the blank, like word bank kind of thing. Or do what? Kind of, but it's on a specific verse. And what you can do is you can sign up if you want to learn verses about a certain thing, like faith, or about anger maybe, or about our how we use our words or something. You can select a whole group of verses, and then it helps you keep track of which ones you've memorized. At your age, this is an amazing thing. Fill yourself up with verses that you have memorized, because when you're my age and when you're older, those things are still stored away in here. And those things God uses and reminds us in times where we're going through something, where we're making a choice, he uses his word to give us instruction and to guide us. So that is where we're at. I want to challenge you guys this week to think about using one of those study resources to help you gain a better understanding of God's word. If you look inside of your student guide tonight, you'll see some reflection questions. I'm going to touch on this and then pray. Sunday night, if you look on the back, is our Standing Against Human Trafficking event. I want all of you guys to be there, okay? We're not in the loading dock. We're going to meet in the atrium. We'll have some pizza and stuff. But this is going to be an event. Bring a parent with you. Bring both parents if you can, okay? Bring a parent with you. We'll be in the worship center. There's going to be some really important material we're going to talk about. Now, because it's kind of grown-up material, we're not inviting people sixth grade and under, okay? So if you have a younger sibling, let your parents know this is super important. We really need to be there, but let's try and figure out babysitting or something for them, or they can just stay at home or whatever, okay? That's what we're recommending, but be there on this night. We're going to have a panel of experts that are going to answer questions. You guys will have a phone number on Sunday morning that throughout the day, if you come Sunday morning in your power line, there will be a phone number you can text in a question to. Maybe you're struggling, you know somebody who's struggling, or maybe you just have a question about something in general in regards of human trafficking, what it is, what it looks like in our area. Our experts are going to answer a lot of those questions on Sunday night and are going to give some great information. We'll have some videos. The trailer that's out back behind the loading dock right now. Do what? It is very good. So the videos that are in that are what we're going to be showing on Sunday night. So if you haven't got to see that yet, it's amazing. Very, very, very important. Could be something that if you come to this event on Sunday night, you may gain information that one day helps someone get out of a really bad situation they never meant to get into. And it may help you stay out of a bad situation you've never even thought of before. So I want you to be there. I want you to invite friends to come to this, okay? Let them know what it is. Don't be like, hey, we're going to play games all night. Psych, okay? That's not what you do. Don't do that, okay? That's messed up. That's lying. That's deception. But the connection with the inside is the inside of your student guide has some reflection questions about the message tonight. We won't have journey groups on Sunday night because we'll be doing this event. So I want you to think about this. Maybe use some of these study helps as you go through. It's got some questions about chapter 22 as well as chapter 23. Really interesting thing. Josiah does all this stuff in chapter 23. And then he goes to battle and he dies in battle. And then the kingdom has, as you saw, a few more bad kings after that. They have issues. The kingdom's in shambles, basically. And then Egypt comes and takes over, puts in basically a puppet king that they can manipulate the kingdom with as this like geopolitical power struggle and stuff with Babylon and Assyria. It's really cool if you like tactics and things like that. And then basically they get taken over after that. So the destruction God had promised did come, and he brought it about. And Josiah didn't have to see all of the destruction that came, but there was a consequence, okay? I want you guys to be aware, right? Like we said, when we study something, when we learn, helps us to live differently. This is an event right here that is going to be eye-opening for a lot of you. That as you use social media, as you talk to people, as you have friends who are going through different things, you're going to be able to see those things with new information that may really help you, a friend, or someone else, and you know may make a lifetime of difference for them. So be there on Sunday night. There's some information available right here. Also, at the bottom, we've got See You at the Poll. I want to make an announcement about September 26th, See You at the Poll, okay? Previously, I had told you that we are going to do Invite Your One on this night, okay, September 26th. We are having to move that night to October 3rd, okay? So we're still going to have it. I'm just giving you an extra week to think about who your person is going to be. We're going to get the cards and all that kind of stuff for you. We just weren't able to do it on that night. But See You at the Poll is a nationwide thing, so that's still happening, okay? September 26th, See You at the Poll. Be at your school's flagpole, unite with other believers, and pray. Talk with them ahead of time, invite them. The number one thing I heard last year, listen to this. Number one thing I heard last year from people that asked, and I was like, hey, I didn't see you at the poll. They're like, oh, I didn't know about it. Okay? Set a reminder on your phone, iPad, whatever you need to do, your parents' iPhone, whatever. Set it up. Let them know, hey, I need to be at school like an hour early this day, and I'm going to get like donuts and orange juice or something like that. Okay? Because a lot of times that kind of thing happens. So be there that day. Okay? Because this is a great way for you to unite with others and pray and ask God to work in your school this year. So info's there. Talk with your friends. Be involved in any Christian clubs you guys have at your schools. I know some of you do have like FCA, things like that. Be involved in those. Those are great. All right? CLC. There you go. All right. Let me pray for you guys, and then we'll break out, and you'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for tonight. I ask that each of these students would be convicted this week to read your word, to study it, and then to live differently in light of what they learn. God, as we read your word, just illuminate it to us. Help us to understand what the author is saying in the text, and then for us to come away from it with a robust understanding of what it means to follow you. Lord, be with these students this week to be a light in their schools, in their homes, on their teams, in the various places that they go. Use them this week to point others to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.